everybody, and welcome to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast on the entire internet. Carmen thinks he's so funny. My name is Kelsey.
Ah! And it's a beautiful day to podcast.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Carmen.
Carmen's unwell, but he did get a haircut that looks quite nice.
Thank you. Oh, man. So, listen, I've had... Today, I'm usually... So, here's what's funny, guys. I can finish a thought.
ADHD. Unmedicated.
Unmedicated, undiagnosed. Nope. Wait, that should be a slogan. ADHD, colon, no medication, no diagnosis, no problem.
That's... The last two words are wildly incorrect. Exclusively problems.
My life is a problem. Okay, so this is my ninth day straight working since leaving Tennessee.
Yeah.
And by the way, leaving Tennessee was a 14-hour drive where we got home at like 12:30 in the morning, which was 1:30 in the morning, the time that we had established in our circadian rhythm for 4 days straight on the lake. Correct. And in Tennessee in general. So... I've been out of sorts. I've been in the office, in the hospital, 9 days straight. Tomorrow's my 10th day. And then Friday, when the day after this episode comes out, when all of you are sleeping in homeland, TV land, podcast land, I will be camping out for Pokemon cards. So send me just the most beautiful get well wishes of all time. Because then also after that, that night, Friday night, my in-laws get in town. So I may not live to see tomorrow. But I will gladly join the fight.
You should really move to Tennessee. I think that would have solved some of the problems you just listed.
I think that only solves maybe the one problem with the in-laws. Well, I guess the travel piece, because then I wouldn't have to travel 14
right.
hours. Yeah.
And probably you would have a different job if you lived here, so maybe you wouldn't have such crazy working hours.
The problem... So, okay. I want you all to remember, you feel sympathy for me, okay? Kindness, joy, empathy. I chose to work 10 days straight. And I also chose to have two people come and train with me during this period of time. So I trained a new hire last week from Madison, Wisconsin. And then I trained a new hire this week from Virginia, Midlothian, Virginia. So
Midlothian?
Yes.
What a fun word.
Yes. There's also a Midlothian in Illinois, which is interesting.
Midlothian.
Yes.
That sounds like a made-up place in Dungeons and Dragons.
All places are made up.
That's so real.
Yeah. It's like that scene in, one of the Thors where they said that name's made up and he goes, all names are made up or something like that.
They are.
So anyways, I'm struggling. Today's going to be great. Sorry to yell in your guys' ears right off the bat, but it's going to be great. Everything's going to be awesome. Also, the person who I trained this round is a big Grey's fan and actually is listening to the episode of George dying. So she was very excited to listen. She's like, I got to go listen to this right now.
That's
fun. So yeah. But yeah, Pokemon and things and work. And it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's great. What are we talking about?
I've also been working. Bennett and Wyatt started a different... Well, Bennett started a new daycare and Wyatt started daycare this week.
Mm.
Bennett's doing so good. He's like thriving. It's truly precious. Every picture they send me of Wyatt, I'm like, this baby is depressed. I've ruined her life. It's a bummer. We're recording on Wednesday. So she's only been there 3 days, but I'm like, it sucks every time you put them in, like, the daycare starting process is brutal sometimes.
Yes.
So, but, yeah, she's fine. She just also, like, they put pictures and she's like this in all of them.
Mm.
Which is, she's just normally, like, a giggly, happy little bean, so it always bums me out.
Yeah, she does got that mean mug, though. You know what other baby had the mean mug, though?
Scarlet.
Well, yes. I was gonna say Violet. Violet also has the mean mug. Definitely.
Scarlet was very just like observant, but it came across judgy as hell.
Mm-hmm. Well, she got that from her mommy. So
correct.
Yeah.
Direct correlation.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what's happening here. So Wyatt also has not been sleeping great, which means I have not been sleeping great. Also, too, did I give the narcolepsy update on the podcast? I don't remember.
I want you to know that even if you did, I have ADD, so I wouldn't remember.
That's so true. And I also have ADHD, so I don't remember. But
wait, which one's the fake one now? Is ADD fake or is ADHD fake?
My therapist told me that it's now all classified as ADHD.
Okay. I got them mixed up. So I have the ADHD.
Yes.
The ad is fake. The ad hood is real.
Mm-hmm. So anyways, I went to a sleep doctor and they were like, you probably have narcolepsy. So I have to do a sleep study to confirm.
I think you did give us update, in the coming but months. It's okay. I'd like it again.
And then I'll be drugged, medicated appropriately.
Roofie.
So looking well, if I didn't give the full explanation update, that sounds really bad.
Just roofieing yourself.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. I also fear that before we jump into some shout outs, that I didn't finish my thought. I got a haircut this week. Mm-hmm. I also watched this episode and I have a recording. I actually got my haircut and then I recorded. So I have a video to share.
I'll watching this, which is delightful because I did not tell him to. And then I watched as I was watching it. I was like, damn, a lot of stuff happened in this episode. Too bad Carmen has to watch it on a train.
Yeah, I did watch it again on a train for my notes. Mm-hmm. But I want to jump into some shout outs. Shout out our dear friend Bella Fart Smella. Saw that I had posted a reel from Community, and she's like, I'd love a Community podcast. Maybe that's another podcast we could add to our list.
Have you watched Community?
No, I haven't.
We could do that one at the same time for the first time.
Yeah, that could be fun. Want to shout out Rook, just in general, you're just great. Shout out to our friend Megan. I know you've had a busy week, so here's to you. Shout out to Christian, just always a fun time texting and messaging you. Shout out to Alicia. Alicia sent me a good couple of reels lately. Shout out just to Janisha. I miss you. Message me. Hope you're doing well. Let's see what else. I think I have one more. I don't remember if this was prior to our last recording or not, but shout out to Francesca. I did shout her out. But yeah, just shout out to Francesca again. She was watching the episode where we lost Lexi and Mark. And I think that's all I got. Let me just double check to see if we have any new reviews that came in. Maybe not. Nope. If you haven't, though, go and give us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you listen. It really does help the algorithms. And again, you know, if you type in "What's the best Grays podcast?" to the AIs, it will tell you that we are there and we are the best rewatch podcast for our humor and thorough in-depth analysis of each episode one at a time. So do the things for us. It really
Yay
helps.
Us. Yeah.
All right. Should we do an episode? This is less banter than usual, unless you have anything else you want to share.
I don't think so. If I do, I'll think of it and then I'll share it. Okay. This is episode 23 of the 10th season. It is episode 219 overall. It is called "Everything I Try to Do, Nothing Seems to Turn Out Right," which is a song.
Yes, and let me tell you, it's not a good song.
The Decemberists, it doesn't strike me as a Carmen band.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I really can. In my head, appreciate artists in general. I don't want to put anyone down, but I found this song and this the Decemberists lead singer, the voice, just not my cup of tea. So I'm just gonna leave it at that. If you love the Decemberists and they're your favorite band of all time, truly, I'm so sorry. It was not me. What's also Is it Say Anything? The band is that a band?
I think so. It's a movie for sure.
No, yeah, it's not what I'm thinking of. There's a band, like some of the singers from the early 2000s, I just find their like the talk singing just not be my cup of tea either. That happens a lot. But anyways, the song titled Everything I Try to Do, Nothing Seems to Turn Out Right is a song off of the album Billy Liar by the Decemberists. And it was released September 14th, 2004. The album, it seemed to have been okay. It peaked at number 24 on the U.S. Billboard, the charts in 2004. The song that I just mentioned did not do that well. It did not chart anywhere. But the album itself is only a 15-minute album, and it's got four songs on it. So
interesting.
The songs are Billy Liar, Los Angeles, I'm Yours, Everything I Try to Do, Nothing Seems to Turn Out Right, and then Sunshine. So not my cup of tea. I'm going to give it a subjective... I mean, the song itself, I'm going to give it a subjective 2. And honestly, it's got to probably be an objective 2 as well, because it didn't chart... The album itself did okay, but it's only four songs on here, so yeah, I'm gonna go 2-2, and with that, I'm gonna 2-2 it back to you, Kelsey.
Thank you so much. This episode was written by Austin Guzman and directed by Bill Delia. It aired May 8th, 2014, to 7.95 million views.
What in the hell?
Yeah. And
after Bert came back, that's how they want to play this next couple of episodes. Okay.
And the Netflix synopsis for this one is Meredith explores her feelings about her time in Seattle. Callie receives devastating news and word spreads that a resident will be fired. I have no fucking clue what the first part of that means.
Yeah.
Meredith explores her feelings about her time in Seattle. What does that mean? Is it supposed to say Christina, which I still would disagree with?
Yeah, none of that really makes sense, in my opinion.
Callie receives devastating news I can get behind. Word spreads that a resident will be fired. That already happened. Terrible synopsis.
Terrible.
You failed today, Netflix. That was just terrible.
Also, I do want to shout out a couple other things that came to mind since we started this episode. I got to shout out Christian for sending that what looks to be a terrible AI rendering of the helicopter of the sky. That's very funny. I might actually get that as a tattoo, but that's a very funny...
You're a liar.
Listen, it could happen. And I also want to shout out... Where was it? Who had posted the screenshots? Oh, here we go. So Katie, shout out, had posted a couple of the screenshots of... What's his name? Isaiah Washington.
Ugh.
Being terrible. So,
he's a fucking psycho.
Yeah, and then some of his, like, Twitter, X, whatever it is, posts. So, yeah. Yeah.
It's a bummer.
So.
You hate to see it.
I do hate to see it. Hate to see it. But I was thinking about that as well. It's just not cool. Not cool.
Okay, so before we get into this episode. Like I said, when I was watching it, I was like, damn, a lot of shit happens in this one that I forgot about, that I thought was happening in this finale. So I was thrilled when Carmen told me he recorded himself watching it. Specifically in regards to the Leah situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And,
shocking.
Yeah. And some of the Amelia stuff as well.
Also, that end scene with what's his face just kissing Christina.
Owen.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Don't leave me until you leave me.
She left you. I don't understand. It's psychopath behavior.
Yeah.
It's giving sexual assault.
Well,
it's giving.
It's just giving never-ending toxic relationship.
It's giving uncomfy. It's giving, I hate it.
Unprofessional in the workplace.
Yeah.
Speaking of hating things, Derek was in this episode so little. And when he shows up, he makes me so fucking mad. I hate this man so much.
I want you all to know that I am for sure on
Meredith.
Kelsey's side for hating Derek on this one. Yes. Good. Yes.
Yeah. Showing up, just walking in and saying, awesome, let's move our family across the country because I met the president, is an insane thing to do.
The only thing I will say in response to that is canon has confirmed that it is in fact Barack.
Yeah, and that's fine that it's Barack. We can still agree a conversation is different than a declaration and slash or demand.
Yes. Yes.
Which is what this man did. As though, I mean, with not a care in the world.
Yeah.
Like, as though, look at me and this gift that I have bestowed upon you by uprooting our entire lives, everything you've worked for, everything you've ever known. I've worked it all out. Don't worry about it. I have everything planned in place. So, you're welcome. I am forever the worst. Like, I hate this man so much.
Yeah, and he for sure said it as if, you're welcome. I've done us the favor.
I've made it so we don't even have to have a conversation about it.
And we don't even need to sell the house. We'll just let Amy live here. Everything's going to be totally fine. This house that I built for how many seasons?
Mm-hmm. Also, we have had lengthy conversations on Discord without you about you have to say Amelia. No one, you cannot call her Amy anymore.
Why?
Because only Derek calls her Amy, and everyone else calls her Amelia.
But I met her as Amy.
No, you met her as Amelia, and she said, no one calls me Amy except Derek, and you're not Derek.
This is a fake person who operates in a TV show we watch.
That's fine. I want you to know that whilst I am on the side of our listeners, I'm not even the one who brought this up. Multiple other people were like, it pisses me off when Carmen says Amy. And I said, I'll correct it.
In my Anakin voice, you will try. I don't know that I can commit to that. All of my notes have her listed as Amy.
Well, right. What I need you to commit to is moving forward, not having her listed as Amy. And then it will be fine.
I can't commit to it.
You need to.
I shan't.
You need to make an effort.
I will make an effort.
It's for the fans.
I think that Amy Amelia is a great person.
Anyways, so she made waffles.
Apparently, great waffles.
The most incredible waffles ever to be made.
Like, sex waffles is what she made, apparently.
So, Amelia. Amelia is, on the phone a lot with her fiancé.
Which, in the beginning of the episode, it looks like she's smiling. It, looks like everything's fine. Outside, it looked like she was smiling.
Just like a more heated conversation.
Really?
Yeah. Lots of, gesturing about and kind of looking, not frazzled, but maybe, frustrated, flustered. Oh, my gosh.
What?
I keep getting the same alert from the computer, and it needs to shut up.
What's the alert?
I don't know what it means, but I just wanted to stop making noise in my ear. Anyways. So yeah, I mean, I'm glad you watched it and recorded yourself watching it. Big episode in regards to Miranda, for sure.
Huge. Yeah. And for Steph.
Yes. What were in general, did you have somewhere you wanted to start?
Well, I mean, I guess we can just finish the conversation around Derek. He's in DC. Amy's helping at the house.
Well, he starts by being like, oh, heads up, I'm going to be home late. So already, okay, fine. Meredith's being super chill about it.
But they were supposed to do a surgery together, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. And Amelia steps in to cover for him. And it's fine. But then again, so he's like already on not the thickest ice.
Yeah.
And then he rolls on in and is like, let's move to DC. I met the president. And he's like, this is the, like, they get offered him a job at the NIH. Like, he's like, this is the job, which for me doesn't really line up with the story we've been told about surgeons in general and how they're like, we have to cut. Like, we are bloodthirsty. We have to cut. We won't be happy just doing other things. Like, when they do research, they're like, oh man, I miss the OR. When they're chief, they're like, oh man, I miss operating. So for him to come in and be like, this is the dream, this is the job, I'm like, is it though? Is it? I don't, not to say I think he would necessarily be bad at it or anything. I just think it doesn't correlate with the entire premise of the show.
If it was his dream, it wouldn't take 10 seasons for us to hear about it for the first time.
Yeah.
That's, and that's pretty insane.
I understand the research piece and being like, I want to, you know, do impactful work and work, you know, do this like life-changing research. That I totally get. Makes sense. They're all have, you know, he's done clinical trials before, but again, so many times in this show, we're told by characters, oh, you can't give up surgery. You like, you'll be miserable. He specifically had the chief job and he was like, I never get to do surgery and I'm miserable. Like, I just, it's kind of out of left field. Also, let's just like look at the trajectory. Okay. Derek says, Meredith, I'm going to take a step back from surgery so that you can have your moment and your career. And then he says, oops, oops, got to go to DC. Oops, got to work for the president.
Which it's also worth calling out that Owen pushed him into that meeting. Derek had said no.
Mm-hmm.
And Owen kept saying, let me ruin everyone's lives.
Yeah.
Here.
And then he says, okay, I'm not going to take a step back. I'm actually going to do this insanely, like, very demanding job. And Meredith's like, fine, we'll fucking figure it out, you turd bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, wait, 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 actually, let's move to DC. And she's like, what if? No. Derek.
Yeah, it's pretty insane behavior all around, I gotta say.
She's just more patient than she need be.
Yeah. So yeah, it's, I really don't know what to make of what's gonna happen. It feels pretty insane. And like the end scene, like leading up to that, too, where Meredith and whatever her name is now, Amelia, no one really knows what her name is for sure. Whatever comes out of her mouth is her name at this point. And she's like, okay, well, I want to stay here, and I got to call and break up with James. Kevin, what's his name?
James, you're right.
I nailed it. Okay.
Kevin James.
Yes, awful. Kevin James. And Meredith's like, that's not where I thought this conversation was going. And at one point, too, Meredith checks in on Amelia, Amy, and is like, yo, are you okay? And Amy's like, I just wish you didn't care anymore, you dumb sister-in-law. And Meredith's like, okay, I don't know how to do this. This is
yeah, I actually have a lot on my own plate. I don't have time for this. Also, I am married to your brother, who is the worst.
Yeah. And then Amelia's like, yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to do this. I got a lot on my mind. So yeah, she's like, I gotta break up with this dude and move here. I have no other choice. There's a gun to my head.
Not another choice.
Same with Derek, apparently. Just needs to, there's a gun to his head and it's the president.
It's forcing him to uproot his entire family's life.
Yeah. So, official prediction, they get divorced and he moves to DC.
What's the timeline on that?
before the 23rd season.
Okay.
It's going to be a really prolonged divorce.
Mm-hmm. So how long do you think Barack's the president in Gray's world?
In the Gray's utopian society? forever. I think that this will be kind of the arc of season 11. So
them
getting
divorced.
Yeah, yeah. I think the cliffhanger for this next episode is going to be, we can't do this. I'm leaving. I need to get a divorce. And Derek's last season on Grey's will be season 11.
Okay, so he just departs.
Yeah, because he's broken all of his promises.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then Thatcher will ride in on a horse and stab him on the way out.
As is his way.
With a dirty fucking needle.
Oh my.
With deactivated HIV.
Just activated.
Just fully activated. Just that
fully
non-deactivated. It is extra activated. It's activated plus.
Mm. It's the opposite.
Put the positive and HIV positive on that needle.
Oh my God. You're terrible. Straight to hell for that one.
Okay. South Park did it first.
Oh, okay.
I think, like, they're actually... I have to fight in my brain when someone says, are you positive? And in South Park, they go, I'm HIV positive. See, you know it's terrible, but it is so funny.
No, I'm really just laughing at, like, thinking about you in a workplace setting, someone being like... Are you positive? And you in your brain being like, oh no, oh no,
don't let it out.
Whoa! And then the bomb goes off and you kill Dylan.
So many times. I think the hardest part of being a manager or in a leadership position, I want to make pee-pee jokes all day long.
Man, did you just love the Tootin's dancer in this episode? I was like, I bet Carmen... cannot stop laughing.
I was living. This is probably character arc alone, 5 out of 5. And at the end, the guy's like, thank God. What did he say? I made it through cancer battle, but the farting has to stop. The room smells like shit all the time. And she's like, okay. I hear you. Let's try it.
I do wonder, like, what the smell situation
because there
her
can't
was.
Be too much left in the fart comes from the colon and all the things the smell
and she's
of the
like
food
not
digestion.
Eating anything
yeah and
so
she said
I was
she
like
only
it feels like it just
it
has to be like not all of them but like maybe the majority of them is it's truly just like air being released right it's not like the stinky
yeah,
like oh
exactly.
Dear God toots and yeah, I don't know. That was, but as I was watching it, I was like, man, I bet Carmen just thinks this is the funniest shit in the world.
It was great. It was great.
I was like, this episode was written specifically for Carmen to watch.
Yeah, if only this episode and the guy who is perpetually has a boner were in the same episode, it would be truly, and Meredith was also drunk or on drugs.
That was funny.
Everything would be perfect together. There was something that came to my mind while I was watching this episode, and I wanted to ask you, what's the worst thing you've ever smelled in your life? I have like two very distinct smell core memories that I have.
I don't know. They definitely are like things like I've driven through parts of Tennessee that have
like a water treatment plant.
Processing. We do have water, like the water treatment. So I think there's a paper one here as well that's like pretty stinky.
Interesting.
There's also in Knoxville at the University of Tennessee campus, there is something called the Body Farm. And
already this sounds like a horror movie.
Yeah. So it's essentially to help train people basically become like CSI type forensic scientists.
Okay.
So they will take like bodies that have been donated to science and they will put them out to see how different types of weather, different environmental factors impact body decomposing. And
I hate this.
When I was in ninth grade, I was on the crew team, which is the rowing. And the body farm is on the Tennessee River. And I did row past that more than once. And let me tell you, hard to breathe. That one's pretty brutal.
Yeah. Rotting flesh.
Yeah.
Human flesh.
Quite literally. And they'll do, they'll put some where they're like partially buried, and they'll have some that's like direct sunlight. And, you know, they do it in the winter as well to see how like that weather impacts it. And they'll have some that, you know, it's just like, listen, like it makes sense, right? You need that
totally, yeah,
from like a learning perspective. But it is called the body farm. And it is just a huge piece of land that the University of Tennessee owns that they put like cadavers on, basically.
I learned something new. We're going to take a capitalism break for me to go vomit.
So you can
and
process.
Then, I could eat a whole steak right now, which sounds delicious, actually. So we'll take a capitalism break, go buy some steaks, or catch an ad for your future career in CSI stuff. So yeah, we'll be right back. And we are back. I got to tell you, my two distinct smells, the worst smells I've ever smelled. One is actually in line with that. It's the first time I ever smelled a dog's parvo diarrhea.
Oh, cute.
And parvo is just basically the rotting flesh of the interior lining of your intestines, of the dog's intestines. So probably not as bad as a human corpse, but still decaying flesh. The other one, gotta tell you, and I don't know if you guys had any of this with your kids, the first time we fed Marlo fish as a child, like as a baby, like toddler, we're exploring new foods, we're testing allergies and stuff. The poop that she had after trying fish for the first time was just the rankest, dankiest shit.
So funny. I have fed my children fish and not experienced that. So I do wonder if that's Marlo specific.
Well, it was just the first time. And it was still like early on in food. We're like, let's just get the allergy stuff right out of the way.
I wonder if it's just because it was like really high protein compared to like a lot of the other stuff she had had at that point.
Maybe. And her body needed to figure out, ooh, what do I do with this?
Ooh, what is meat?
But yeah, that one sticks out to me for sure.
And then my dad obviously used to work in one hospital. Now he works in a different hospital. But when he was working in the first one, they took him into the like morgue. And he did say, he was like, there's like the smell from a dead body is like one you'll never forget. I'm like, delightful. Something to think about.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's that. But yeah, should we just talk about that storyline then? Now, fully?
Yeah.
Because it kind of leads to Leah.
Yeah, it super does.
Shocker.
Yeah, your prediction was that it was no one, that it was a red herring.
It wasn't a red herring, but it was a red herring to Joe.
Well, yeah, obviously, like, it wasn't Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting because the implication at the end of this episode is that Leah just leaves from there.
That was the implication, I agree. She was like, yeah, I'll meet you at Joe's. Let me pack up my belongings forever.
So she come back next episode?
I'm going to be so for real, I don't remember.
Okay.
I genuinely, watching this, I was like, does this bitch come back in the next episode? Because again, I thought that like them telling her that she's not cut out for this happened in the next episode.
Ah,
so I don't
the
remember
the penultimate episode,
right? Yeah, I truly was like, oh wow. I thought, like, I obviously knew that she was who they were talking about. I just thought that storyline wrapped up in
the
finale.
Ultimate episode,
because it's giving finale, but
it is, that is giving a finale type move. What's the name? Her name is Monica, right?
The dancer?
Yeah, the lady that was part of
that. You know,
that,
like, maybe that was her name. I'm going to be so real. I just kept writing the dancer.
I'm fairly certain it's Monica. And also, first off, she goes by Monica because only Derek calls her the dancer.
Are you proud of yourself?
Yeah, also, you guys, Kelsey's eyes rolled out of her head.
I just like, he's just constantly saying things.
That is the point of a podcast, for what it's worth.
But I don't like them.
Podcast.
It is Monica. Good job.
Thanks. So she beat rectal cancer and it's in remission.
Yes. And she did a bowel resection, which that is what has left her with her poor sphincter control. So she has frequent bowel movements. What they say, like every 4.5 hours or something?
Yeah. Which feels like manageable, minus sleeping.
Well, also not in her line of work, because we do get the horror story of that she shit herself on stage during dress rehearsal, like whilst pirouetting.
Which, for the record, objectively unfunny, subjectively fucking hilarious.
The reality of it, unfunny. The story Correct. As told in this episode, funny.
If this is you when it happens, unfunny.
Mortifying.
If this is you watching someone where it happens, and they're a very close friend of yours, and no one else can see it, very funny. I actually don't think I would want to watch someone in public shit themselves. Yeah,
I was about to say, I don't know that I want to watch someone like shit themselves after recovering from rectal cancer.
That is a great point. I think I'm going to downgrade this to subjectively moderately funny.
Just like moderately this funny scenario. Thinking about someone like pirouetting across the stage and poop just shooting out. Like, I understand, right? If you like cap it at that, like we take out the cancer, we take out the fact that she's going to lose her job from this, then it's funny. Again, reality-wise, not funny.
I was at Disney when I was on my very early leadership journey. And I remember Disney Corner when they had WAD going through construction and they had it like separated out.
Yeah.
I saw an older woman run in and ask where the bathroom was. And I said, oh yeah, it's right around the corner underneath the stairs there. Cause we're like right there. And she goes, okay, thanks. And then she just, oh God, oh God, oh God. And she has poop coming out of her pants as she ran away. And I think I did not see her afterwards. This was towards the end of my day. I'm fairly certain we just no strings to her some new pants.
But that's so unfortunate because that means someone had to go up to her and be like, I notice you've shit yourself. Can we give you some new pants?
And then
to go up to someone and be like, I shit myself. Can I have some new pants? Both options are bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's a bummer.
It's a bummer. And we're all going to get there someday.
And
you know?
This is so pertinent right now because of...
You're shitting your pants right now.
No, because of the explosive diarrhea parasite.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw a meme today that it was like, you should eat healthy. And it's the lettuce saying, I'll be happy to give you explosive diarrhea. And it's the line underneath says, the Oreos in the pantry. I would never do that to you, baby.
It's so true. Yeah, I saw something that was like, you know what never gave me explosive diarrhea? A milkshake, a martini, a nice latte.
I could go for a malk. Fuck.
A what?
A malt. I said a malk.
Okay, I thought you said malk, and I had to be like, is this like some weird Midwestern thing? Like,
I'd love a malk.
Like, did you forget how to say milk? Like, what has happened?
Well, there is one of my favorite YouTube skits of all time is when they are like, hey, can you hand me a glass of milk? And they're like, I'll give you a glass of milk. And then the other friend walks in and says, just give the man a glass of milk. And they're all yelling at each other, saying milk differently. Yeah. That's one of my favorite. Have I showed you this skit?
I have seen it. I don't know that you've shown it to me.
Okay. That's one of my favorite YouTube skits of all time.
Someone I knew that said milk, and she also said pillow. And I'm always, I think about that, and I'm like, why did you say it's wrong?
That's for sure like a farm Midwest thing because Jess's parents say pillow, and every once in a while, Jess will say like, hey, can you hand me that pen over there? I want to write something down. I'm like, I'll hand you a pen. If you want to write something down, I'm not going to hand you a pin and just scratch up the paper and cut through to my countertops, you animal.
Yeah, there's some weird ones for sure.
I'll never understand Warsher ever.
Michael's dad says that.
Yeah, I'll never understand
He
that.
Says Washington. I'm like the state Washington, President George Washington.
You mean President
Washington, D.C.?
George Washington? George Washington?
Yes, exactly.
George Washington.
Yeah. It's a weird one.
What's the other one? I mean, we've had this conversation, but maybe I'm having a little bit of deja vu. The trees get their nutrients from what in the ground?
Their roots.
Yeah.
You say roots?
I say roots.
Because that's correct.
But I drink root beer.
That's incorrect. Also, root beer is gross.
First off, root beer is delicious.
Do you think root beer is a substitute for a specific soda?
No, it's its own soda.
Right. Okay. I asked this because one time I was at a restaurant and we said, do you guys have Dr. Pepper? And the waitress went, no, but we have root beer. To which I went, eh, I'm good. Thanks. Water's fine.
It's, you know, I even get a little bit upset at the Coke Pepsi parallel.
As
but
you
I,
should,
I,
because
but I understand it.
A,
I understand
Pepsi
it.
Is disgusting. And Pepsi, B, they don't taste the same.
Pepsi is not better than an ice cold Coke, especially from McDonald's. But I will tell you that cherry Pepsi is better than cherry Coke from a fountain. Homemade cherry Coke with grenadine is the ultimate drink. The ultimate brown cola, but orange soda is goat. Is goat
I
status.
Am again, I've been off sodas for almost a decade, possibly more. I don't really remember. And I miss it. I think about it all the time. Diet Coke is superior.
You can relapse anytime you want.
I think about it all the time, especially now that I'm like done nursing. I'm like, I could just get back on my soda bullshit.
But what did you get off the soda for? It's not bad for you. It's a health drink.
It's good. Not good for you. Also my teeth was like a main reason.
Fair. Yeah, that makes sense.
Teeth was a big one. I was drinking, I would like go to the 7-Eleven right by my house in Florida and get a big gulp because I didn't drink coffee. And so like that's how I would every morning I'm like, gotta go get my 75-cent big gulp of caffeine.
Absolutely.
Just like my teeth are gonna fall
ounces.
Out of my skull. Like
yeah. We have the, in the Midwest, we have the polar pop. Fuck, the polar pops. I just like hiccup burped at the same time live on
I
the
do
podcast.
Need everyone to know that I say soda for clarifying purposes, but like I grew everything is Coke.
That I can't
Coke
confirm
is everything.
That she does say that because of that's like, is that a Tennessee thing or is it the South?
It's the South, but it is really specific in our area because I know I've said this before. I can never keep this straight. Coke was either invented in Chattanooga and first bottled in Atlanta or invented in Atlanta and first bottled in Chattanooga.
We can we have the technology
to
get this.
I know, and I can't tell you how many times I've looked it up and I will literally never remember it.
Coke was first invented in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay. So we were the home of like one of the first bottling plants. We still have several Coca-Cola bottling plants here in Chattanooga. And we also have a Pepsi bottling plant, which feels hateful and aggressive and petty.
So
and it pisses me off every time I drive by it.
What did you say? Can you start that over again? I was Googling things. What did you just say? What's petty and pisses you off?
There's a Pepsi bottling plant here as well.
Oh, so fun fact, because this is a teaching hospital, damn it. Coca-Cola was first bottled on March 12th, 1894 in Vicksburg, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
But the initial success paved the way for mass bottling, which started 5 years later when the two attorneys from Chattanooga, Tennessee secured exclusive nationwide bottling rights in 1899.
Yeah. And I think I've told this before because the company Crystal, the restaurant chain that is more of the South regionally.
It's a knockoff White Castle.
Was also started here in Chattanooga. So I always say like, because there are families that still live in Chattanooga that have money from Coca-Cola. There are still families living in Chattanooga that have money from the founding of the Crystal's restaurant. And so you'll say like, oh, they have Coke money or, oh, they have Crystal money. And both of those things do sound like drugs.
Yeah, well, that's because they are but not in this context.
Right, exactly. But I always think when I'm explaining it to out of Chattanooga people, I have to specify. Speaking they have a lot of money from coke, but not cocaine.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of the drugs, remember how I told you that story about how there's someone in my life where they're pregnant and they were doing crack?
Yes.
The baby daddy left on the 4th of July.
Oh my God.
And this is not the first time that he's done this. He has a baby mama with two daughters in Florida and now has another baby mama in Illinois with another child on the way. So,
what a time.
And he took the truck that she bought him in her name. Jeez. Never made a payment on it.
These people are delightful.
Well, they're crackheads. So,
well, that is unfortunate.
Everyone should get the help that they deserve, and this country should really fund addiction counseling as a right for all people and mental health
and
treatment
healthcare
for healthcare in general as a human right.
Also, if you have the ability to keep Narcan on your person, you should.
We do keep Narcan in our hospital at all times.
Yes.
Because we're in an urban environment. If someone walks in and they're, you know.
In need.
In need.
You can provide.
And if you need to talk to someone, you know, reach out to your the numbers that you need to call for addiction counseling. Nice. So Grey's Anatomy. Speaking of addictions, Amelia.
Right.
Did
we
finish
the dancer?
We've
gone so far. How did
but
we
Leah,
get
Leah
to Coca-Cola?
Belches because of the Coca-Cola that she drank.
No, because of the hamburger and the pizza.
I know. I was trying to bring it all back together. And
do you feel like
I do.
They kind of pull Leah's, you're not good enough to be a surgeon out of nowhere? Or do you feel like they set that up appropriately over the course of her being on the show?
No, it feels a little bit out of left field for me.
Okay. I was trying to kind of look back on it. And I can't really say one way or the other. I'm like, we've definitely seen characters grow from more, from worse spots. But it does kind of seem like the last couple episodes, you know, she has that thing where she woohoos in the middle of surgery. And for some reason that is the nail in the coffin. That's when Richard goes to Owen and is like, they're definitely not a surgeon.
Yeah.
Because she woohooed during surgery. And
she's
there was
a woo girl
with Derek where she stuck her hand in someone's brain. But again, that was fairly recent. So I was just trying to think back further and nothing really super stands out, but that doesn't mean that I'm not forgetting something.
She did the clip thing was wrong with Derek with the brain. She took a long time for her to figure out the burr holes. Apparently,
yeah, but these
she
are all more
stitch.
Recent. I'm trying to think of the whole time since they've been there with the internship and everything.
No, mostly unlikable.
Yeah, for sure. They make her not very likable. And then, honestly, it is kind of crazy for them to do this not that long after she files the harassment suit, I definitely see how it would not be hard to read that as retaliation, and you would probably have a pretty good
refusal
for
to
it
train
to be retaliation.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, when she's like, is this because of the harassment lawsuit, and Weber's like, no, bullshit, it doesn't matter, it's the optics and the perception. She does have a case. I think she has a case. I'm no wrongful termination lawyer, but I am a doctor, and I think she has a case.
It's
and
yeah,
also I'm
it
not
definitely
a doctor.
Seems like from an HR standpoint it would not be the easiest thing to fight against the argument that that's just retaliation. I think they could have hit that point more and have him say no, it's not because of that, and honestly you did the right thing, and that was really impactful and meaningful to all the other people that have worked here, do work here, and will work here. However, that doesn't change the fact that you're not cut out for this program. They could have just given it a little more weight to be what you did was right and necessary, but it doesn't change the fact that you aren't going to be a surgeon. And I do like the fact that he says you're going to be a great doctor, you're good with patients, you're smart, you're just not cut out for surgery. Which, you know, in that first episode when he gives his speech to everybody and he's oh, however many of you will be asked to leave or whatever, I'm like, we haven't seen that.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw people get fired, but it was because of the merger, not because of like, you're not cut out for this. So it is nice to finally be like, okay, so there are some stakes conceptually to like being
a bad surgeon of some caliber. Yeah. It's so here's the thing. This is kind of why I think it could be wrongful termination, because she never really gets the if you're in the program for, I don't know how many months, and he's like, it takes you 7 stitches to do something that someone does in 5, or you don't stand in a way that you could see the field of vision, or these sound like things that you could just say and she can go work on it. Hey, when you're doing surgery, square yourself this way. Boom. That's an easy fix. She'll never make that mistake again. Hey, go practice your stitches. Like you're 30% less efficient in that, in those skills.
With the stitches things, I thought he was saying more like, you accomplish in 5 moves what it takes doctors at your level to do in 2 moves. So she's just not efficient. She is falling behind. And I do think from like a timeline standpoint, I understand the argument of like, for where you are in the program, you're like, yeah, it could be like learned or fixed, but it's like at a certain point, you shouldn't maybe have to like still be working so hard to figure stuff out.
I don't know. At a certain point, I mean, it's like, have you learned that, like, everyone?
Yeah. But there are lots of people that are surgeons that are not board certified surgeons. It's not a requirement to be a board certified anything, it just makes you more appealing.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels, I think because they say it's a teaching hospital and we never actually see her learning or failing or like, it just, I don't know. It feels a little bit unbuilt of a thing. But I do like the call out where he says, you are going to be a good doctor. I have someone at a research lab in Seattle or in Washington or something like that, like somewhere. And he's like, they owe me a favor. I'll do this for you. But she's had some good idea wins. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, okay, maybe
she's not a
surgeon. The
only thing that I will throw out that they did say, when Heather died and they were like, let's tell each other like facts so we actually know each other. And she was like, I got into the program because my mom used to date Mark Sloan.
Oh, yeah.
That's really the only thing that kind of tracks for, like, her maybe not being at the same level as everyone else.
That's fair.
Like, low-key, not nepotism, but, like...
kind of.
Not doing it on your own fully.
Also, you know, I think it's worth pointing out that Leah never once didn't check the lungs.
That's so true.
Leah exclusively checks the lungs.
That's all she has ever done. They're like, Leah, stop checking lungs. Dear God. We're amputating the foot.
That's not even a person. It's a dog.
Yeah, so that's for me, again, you know, I spent a lot of time being like, I don't like this character. And then they kind of make her likable. And then they're like, and you're fired. It's just it, like, knowing this was coming, I was looking at the last few episodes, like where she woohoos in surgery, where she like sticks her hand in the brain. I'm like, okay, so they're setting it up. But I do need to like go back and try and pinpoint like where specifically they start making her like, quote, not good enough, like not at the same level as everyone else.
Yeah, that I really don't know. When they were, I'll go back to last episode and even a little bit in this beginning episode, because Ben gets dragged into it too. Joe's like stress. She's hives. Got this stress hives, these stress hives on her back. And Ben's like, well, I'm old. So like, who knows what's going to happen? And Shane's like, yeah, like Steph's like, yeah, you just got to try to not have a mental breakdown. And he's like, oh, it was just one time I had a mental breakdown. It's so crazy. All you do is bring it up, blah. Yeah, because it's a kind of a big deal, Shane. And then Leah's like, I don't remember what she says, but everyone, and then Steph says, What did she say last time? I am the ex of the owner of the hospital.
Oh yeah, last time she's like, yeah, my ex owns the hospital.
So it felt like they could have set it up where any one of them could have had something. Steph's was the weakest though, because that would for sure
it was
be retaliation.
So unrelated to medicine.
Yeah. But I don't remember what Leah's was.
Hers was that she wooed in the OR. She was like, I disrupted an entire OR.
Yeah. Which apparently was Weber's breaking point.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Because like, celebrate a win, girl.
Yeah.
So it was something she was working on and then she did it. I'm like, I just... Meredith makes people have 30-second dance breaks. I just...
Yeah, the moral compass in some of these situations.
The wooing is just like the least problematic.
Yeah. She didn't even... Well, she was a victim of sexual misconduct in the workplace.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's just... I thought that was kind of like... I'll have to do some research and see if I can find out specifically if, like, she was leaving for other reasons or if they were like, no, it just makes sense. We got to write Leah off. Because I don't know.
Yeah, I also don't know.
But I mean, listen, I didn't like her. Maybe they were like, no one likes her. We'll make her likable and then we'll get rid of her.
She tested poorly. She needed a swan song towards the end there. So, yeah, but she has this, she just belches in the middle of the farting session.
Which, again,
which is
like,
hilarious.
Just, like, not a reason to fire someone.
No. But then Leah and Ben and Steph, they're all talking about the magnetic sphincter thing, and Leah said, they talk about the magnetic thing because she's belching all the time, and Steph says, you should just get that for your belching, and Leah said, well, what if we did that for this girl's asshole? So...
Which, like... It's called a magnetic sphincter.
Yeah.
How are we not putting this already together?
Science, you know?
Yeah, I actually don't.
It's fair. Neither of us are scientists.
So real.
So, yeah, it's pretty gnarly. And then they...
Yeah, the husband's reaction was kind of crazy to me. Because she's like, what do you think? Should we do it? And he's like, dear God, yes, I'll leave you if you don't stop farting. And I'm like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it really sent me when he's like, the cancer was one thing.
Yeah.
But the farts are just unbearable. And then she's like, okay, yeah, we'll take one magnetic butthole, please.
Yeah.
War up.
Yeah, he's just like, I don't know how much more of this I can take. And I'm like, listen, I'm certain that having uncontrollable gas and like logging the amount of times and with frequency that you go to the bathroom to the part where your partner knows exactly your bowel schedule as well, I can't imagine that's like a big boost on the sex life.
It wouldn't deter me.
I don't doubt that. It seems like Paul might have some... What's his name, Paul? For some reason,
I don't actually
his
know
name
his
to be Paul.
Name.
But yeah, I just like... At the end when he's like, for the love of God, please give her the magnetic butthole. I'm like, can we just like... I appreciate the support. But like...
We don't need to be too excited about it.
Yeah, like... Yeah, it's been a burden on everyone. But like, just it's probably been less of a burden on you.
Also... When so they refer to it as the log.
Yeah, which I thought that probably sent
so,
you.
So funny.
I was
so
like, funny. Again, every time they were making the jokes, I was like, this one's for Garmin.
Yeah. So, but also, I don't remember what exactly the reason that they couldn't do it, but Weber was like, yeah, it's just, you know, we got it. We need it to be less frequent or more frequent. I really don't remember which one it was, but apparently
the
4 hours in
between.
Oh, and
then they were like, you have to have a high fiber diet. And I was like, but wouldn't that make it worse?
Yeah, that's a good... And she said she's a dancer, so she only eats basically like salad and grass
twigs.
From grass clippings as it is.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that didn't make sense.
I will
sense
say
to me.
Though, with the high fiber thing, now that I think about it, we've like struggled with all of the kids at some point or another, like some level of constipation. And the doctors are like, yeah, if you have too much fiber, it makes you constipated. And I'm like, now, wait a second.
Hold up.
Now, wait a god dang second. That's the thing that makes you poop. And now you're telling me if we do too much of it, it makes you not poop? Where's the line?
I need
a solid number.
If I chug half a bottle of prune juice, I'll explode my asshole. But if I drink the whole bottle, I will be plugged up for a month. Pick a lane.
Quite literally. Like, I just, need answers.
Like, is aspartame good for you now? I don't know where the line is. Red dye 40 is back for you?
Get yourself a sweet treat.
Also, Coke Zero is better than Diet Coke. I need everyone to know that.
Diet Coke is the superior diet beverage.
First off, Coke Zero has come out since your soda hiatus. So come out of hiatus and try them both next to each other, side by side.
I might just have to do that. I do worry that if I came back on soda and had the Diet Coke that I've been thinking about every day for a decade, it won't meet the hype.
I actually don't think so. I think it will. And that's going to be part of the problem.
Yeah. And that's on drugs.
But you should, even if it is for science, you should try Coke Zero and compare to Diet Coke.
Yeah. When people use the Pepsi commercials where they would blind taste test Pepsi versus Coke and people always pick the Pepsi. I'm like, that is a lie.
Oh, yeah. It's called
you
marketing.
Cannot, that's insane to be people would think that Pepsi is the Coke. That's it. They taste so different.
Yeah, they really are.
That blows my mind. Okay. Well, we'll take a little break. We will maybe stay on topic the next episode.
I think we did a good job. Yeah. But everyone go take a shit break.
Go take a magnetic butthole break and we'll be right back and we'll start with everyone's favorite segment.